mercy and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you been to a Barnes & Noble and looked at the Christian and spirituality books that they sell? Or have you gone to a Christian bookstore and browsed through their various selections? I will tell you, unfortunately, in both, buyer beware. For there's plenty of bad theology that are found in the Christian sections at Barnes & Noble and even within Christian bookstores. But yes, of course, there are also many good books which are available. For example, at these stores, you will be able to find many self-help books within the Christian section. One will claim on how to build the better you. Another will try to show you how you can gain purpose in this life. Another will teach you how to live your best life now. You'll find books on how to pray according to obscure prayers that are not even found in the Bible but have some reference. You'll learn how to deal with stress. You'll learn from these books that maybe you could learn to become happy or how to lose weight, or whatever it is that you are seeking for improvement. They sometimes give you the impression that if you just simply buy their book, you will learn from Jesus how he will help you all along the way. Because there's a huge market for these books, it indicates that we still live in a fallen world. People are vexed and they are troubled on every side. And so people are looking for help. They're looking for answers. But the problem that is found that is very typical among these types of self-help books within the Christian section is that they usually ignore the role of baptism in the Christian life, and they often suggest that fixing these problems will then result in an easy and problem-free life, as if Satan will not try to wreck or cause havoc any longer. Of course, it is good to lead a good Christian life. It's also good to cope with stress. It's nice to be happy. It's fine to stay in shape and to work on keeping that weight down. But when we put a Christian twist on these things, we often fall into a trap, a snare of the devil, which is that being a Christian means fixing your life, and then you can just simply let everything else go good in your life. What they often do is they reduce Jesus' life, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection to simply being him being our emotional cheerleader. As if Jesus came in order for him to coach you, cheer you on, and then watch you with glee as you figure out the right way to improve and better your own life. But is that what it means to be a Christian? And is that really how we even seek improvement? Where should we really go to make progress in our lives and to do the good that Jesus teaches us to do in our reading from Matthew? The first place to go is found in our reading from Romans, and that is to your baptism. You see, your baptism isn't just something that you did or had done to you many years ago, perhaps when you were an infant. But baptism has everything to do with your Christian life today. It is part and parcel to your life now, to your life as you grow, to your life which ultimately passes through the grave to the resurrection of the body on the last day. For the Christian life is nothing else than living in a baptism. And first of all, living in your baptism is a daily death. That's right. Living in your baptism is a daily death. What kind of death is it? It is a daily dying to sin. Living in your baptism is a daily dying to your old sinful self, which, as we heard in the catechism, is described as the old Adam. So throughout each day, there is that ongoing battle that is always taking place within the Christian. And that is the battle with the old Adam. As Paul writes, he hangs around your neck like a dead corpse, stinky and rotten, but yet still living and saying that the old Adam, is too young to die. Your old Adam, your sinful flesh, loves to engage in that stench of sin. It loves to engage in all sorts of lust and sinful desires. It loves to tell you that you don't need to walk in the newness of life. Instead, continue in the evil of which you may delight and refrain from that which is good. As redeemed child of God, we fight this flesh, and this flesh keeps fighting back. And so it's a continual battle. Your flesh tells you to place yourself as number one. Your flesh teaches you that it doesn't matter what others may feel, that you can run over them. Your flesh says it's fine as long as you are looking out for yourself, you're number one. Your flesh says to live for yourself. Your flesh says that you deserve it. Your hands have earned it. It's all yours. Your flesh teaches you to take delight in grudges, to be filled with pride, to engage in the passions which please yourself, and to exalt your own self. And since this is true for all of us, we often feel that the old Adam is in complete control. And so that's when we become tempted to go and look at these self-help books for all the solutions and answers for the things that have become wrong in our lives. Instead, we ought to be confessing and repenting. You see, rather than confessing and repenting, we often just want to resort to these self-help books, thinking that we can actually be in control if we simply set our minds to it. But when we do this, we are letting our old Adam, ironically, to remain in control, for that is what it wants. But that must not be what happens. That old Adam must die. What the Lord started in your baptism continues in your everyday Christian, or in your Christian life every day. The Lord drowned the old Adam in your baptism, and that drowning takes place daily. And no, you cannot do the drowning of the old Adam yourself. Self-help books will teach you that you can. Just as God drowned the old Adam in your baptism, so also God continues to drown that old Adam today. As we live our lives, we face temptation, we face the effects of sin, we suffer, and God uses these events to crucify the old Adam. At home and at work and everywhere, the Lord teaches you to daily die to sin, especially that sin of living only for yourself. For if you live only for yourself, that will ultimately kill you. But to live for the benefits of your family, or for the benefit of your coworker or your neighbors, is to kill your old Adam. Remember, baptizing with water indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. The first part of killing the old Adam takes place through this daily contrition of which Luther speaks. Contrition could be understood as sorrow for sin, and the sorrow is not something that we muster up ourselves, but God works it in us. You see, our sins are many, and we ought not think of them lightly. When we see the seriousness of our sin, we become agonized by the greatness of our sin. We fear God's wrath and his punishment. And in this, God then works contrition, that first part of drowning the old Adam. And this is a return to what God did for us in our baptism. For in baptism, we were buried with Christ through baptism into death. The second part of killing this old Adam is repentance. By pleading guilty of all sin, we then are trusting in Christ that he will forgive us and that he will continue what he has done for us in our baptism, granting us that new life. So the first part of the Christian life is killing the old Adam, and the second part is to live in a new life, to walk in newness of life. The old Adam is put to death so that a new man can emerge to arise and live before God, as the Catechism states, in righteousness and purity forever. And so we begin each day with a clean slate, forgiven in Christ. And that is the life of faith. Just as Christ has been raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we lead a new life. As Christians living lives of faith, we live lives of repentance. We plead guilty of our sin. We die to sin. We turn from our sin, and we rise to life. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. They go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. We plead guilty of all sin in repentance because we believe in the one who was crucified and risen, that he has forgiven us of our sin and he cleanses us of all unrighteousness. We trust and believe in the promises and mercies of God. And yes, we engage in those good works which God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in them, which he commands. The life of the baptized is death to sin, that is, death to the old Adam, and the resurrection of the new man who trusts in Christ's forgiveness. And the Lord works all of this in you. So, often these self-help books, and I'm not condemning them, at least not all of them, they often teach you that you can do it. But in the Christian faith, you are taught that Christ does this for you. He is the one who forgives you, and he is the one who has prepared the good works for you to walk in. So how can he work these things in you? It is through his word, by the hearing of his word. And in his word, he is teaching you that you are a sinner, that this old Adam sinner must be crushed. And in this word, he is teaching you that Christ alone is the way to your salvation. He is your help. He is your deliverer. He is there for you. Repentance wrought through faith, along with bearing fruits of righteousness, is the life of the new man that daily emerges and arises from the dead to live before God. When you are standing before the Lord, the only thing that counts with him is faith, and that is faith in Christ Jesus, faith in the words, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. A promise like this from the Lord frees you to engage in good works, to lovingly serve God by serving your neighbor, and you are free to live in Christ to do that which God has called you to do. For in a life like this, you are set free from your own sin and from your own selfishness. And when you fail, for you do, you go back to dying to that sin and trusting that Jesus has already atoned for it. It is a continual walk in your baptism. You will find progress and you will find setbacks throughout your entire life. But you can be confident that Christ will always be there, loving you and shepherding you until that time he calls you to rest with him. Your baptism unites you with Christ's death and resurrection, and so you die to self and you live in Christ. And then someday, when you die a temporal death, Christ will receive you into his eternal kingdom. For baptism saves, and you pass through death to you pass through death to unending life. Your baptism leads you to a final rising, which is the resurrection of your body and the life everlasting. And so this baptism continues to be at work throughout your entire life, and we rejoice in having this most marvelous gift of God for us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.